This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fan Morning Show brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. You can text us 412-928-9370. Brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm. They always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And this will put an end to the animal conversation. This will be a nice bookend for it right here, Doran. PA has no laws against exotic pets. And then parenthetically, they write, I have two small gators. But many townships and cities do. Did not know you could just have a gator.
Yeah, you can. There are all those people that get caught, they raid their house and there's all kinds of snakes and gators. And
yeah, but I thought they were raiding their house because you're not allowed to have snakes
and
gators.
No, I think it's for other things.
Man. Oh, drugs, weapons, yeah. Things of that nature.
And they find out it's like a Amazon.
Dang.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what has to happen early in life to make you go, you know what? I want to live in Western Pennsylvania. And basically have a forest in my house.
Right. I think it's maybe playing in the woods whenever you're younger.
Yeah.
You know.
We don't have a lot of poisonous or exotic animals around here.
There's enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there is enough.
I mean, there are a lot of poisonous spiders.
Copperheads will get you.
Yes.
You got to worry about them.
Yes.
Yeah. You have to worry about this Commander's offense too, Doran.
Mm-hmm.
And before the Bengals, who are going to play tonight, played the Washington Commanders earlier on in the year, what I would consider the Jaden Daniels coming out party, Bengals cornerback Cam Taylor-Britt broke down the Commanders and said, they don't make Daniels do a lot. They keep it really simple for him. Nice college offense. Cliff Kingsbury's the OC. And then Cam Hayward came out on his podcast yesterday and said, I ain't going to say stupid bleep like calling the Commanders a college offense. You respect that offense, man. You respect what they're doing.
Yeah.
So Cam Hayward not falling for that one. Cliff Kingsbury is doing a good job. He's doing a really good job. He was always miscast as a head coach. He had Patrick Mahomes in college and just perennially went 6-6. And then with Arizona, they would come out like gangbusters. And you go, oh man, Kyler Murray's an MVP candidate. They're playing really good football. And then they totally collapse in the second half. I think he's in the right spot right now. As an offensive coordinator.
Yeah, he absolutely is. I mean, I think he was Johnny Manziel's offensive coordinator at Texas A&M as well. You know, some guys are head coaches, some guys are OCs. And, you know, I thought that he would at least, I can't remember whenever he did actually sign on to be the offensive coordinator for the Commanders, but he was at Steelers practice a couple times whenever he was laid off, like last year, right? I think.
Just poking around a little
bit? I think he was, and I was like, you know, that would be a perfect situation for the Steelers to have a young, fresh, not young, but a fresh kind of outlook on offense and really could revamp this offense. And, you know, he's landed in a situation where he has a head coach who has been there before.
Yes.
He's been to a Super Bowl. He's a defensive-minded head coach. And, you know, he has a young quarterback. And Jaden Daniels, this is a great situation for Cliff Kingsbury. And I honestly think we were talking about this, last week. I think you're going to see more and more of this because of the decline of quarterback play in the NFL, that there's only really one route to go, and that's to get the college mentality, I think. And I think that you're going to see a lot more college, and especially with NIL, especially with transfer portal and how much you have to recruit your own players and go out and recruit. That's a crazy job compared to the NFL. You're going to see a lot of college offensive coordinators become coordinators in the NFL, and it's going to look like more and more like college whenever they do draft those young quarterbacks.
Yeah, I mean, you even saw it on the defensive side with Hafley going from Boston College being their head coach to Green Bay to be their defensive coordinator. That wouldn't shock me at all. You mentioned Dan Quinn, and that's where I wanted to go with the conversation. He's done an unbelievable job. I mean, you have a lot of respect for Dan Quinn. Mm-hmm. We've talked about him on and off the air. So ESPN wrote their story naming all of the award winners through this point in the season. When I say ESPN, I should say Bill Barnwell. And they had Mike Tomlin as the coach of the year through the midway point. And I think that's arguable. I think you can make a legitimate argument that Mike Tomlin is the coach of the year. The more I've thought about it, I think it is Dan Quinn. Like, Dan Quinn hired Cliff Kingsbury. That's a good staff. They have a rookie quarterback at 7-2. They weren't picked to do Jack, you know what? And they have right now a historic offensive pace, as we've talked about. 49% of all their drives are ending in the red zone. That hasn't happened in the NFL since the year 2000. 61% of their drives, they're scoring. They're somehow getting a rookie quarterback to play within himself while at the same time making a whole bunch of plays. If I had to, at the midway point of the season, give out the Coach of the Year award, I think I would probably give it to Dan Quinn.
Well, you know, outside of the football stuff, let's just think about where the Commanders organization was 5 years ago, but let's actually directly think about where they were last year. You had a dip you-know-what as an owner. You got new ownership. It was a dying kind of brand, and they didn't know what even the name was going to be half the time, and they had three names in the last 5-6 years. The whole entire organization was a failure. And to go in there and to revitalize and not just bring them back to a competent level, but to be, you know, into some of the best categories in the NFL playing-wise and just structurally around them, the whole organization has done a fantastic job with new ownership. Harris and Magic Johnson, I believe, are the owner. So that is a tough job to do. Ron Rivera, you know, he was there for a while, and he was just a head coach that – that was just bouncing around the league at head coaching, but you knew that you weren't going to get anywhere really with them. You come in there, you take over an organization with new ownership, new GM, and you do this. I think that definitely garners Coach of the Year and GM of the Year, warranting.
It's about culture, and he did get to have a blank slate coming in and create his own culture. Usually it doesn't happen.
It doesn't happen that quick.
No. So he's done a great job. There's a lot of similarities, I think, between these staffs. I mean, Tomlin, defensive guy. Dan Quinn, defensive guy. And they both hired good offensive coordinators. I think we can say that about Arthur Smith now. Like, there was a time in the offseason where that was almost taboo to say. Now, he's done a really good job. So I do think an argument can be made for Tomlin, too. And why did Stefanski win it last year for Cleveland? He won with all those quarterbacks, most notably Joe Flacco. Tomlin went 4-2 with his backup quarterback. Like, that's what got Stefanski the award last season. And so if you're going by that criteria, Kevin O'Connell, who they've got listed as third, also belongs in the conversation because they didn't want to be playing with Sam Darnold.
No.
Now, you're probably going to be better with him than you would have been with the Michigan kid as he's trying to figure it out. Maybe not. I think Kevin O'Connell's a hell of a coach.
Yes.
And that's a tough damn division.
Yep. Now.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, almost overnight. Like, Packers have always been there, but Chicago competitive. Detroit probably the best team in the NFL. Green Bay's really good, and then you've got them. That's a gauntlet. They've been doing a good job. Do you think that Mike Tomlin, do you agree with ESPN that Mike Tomlin, through the halfway point, should be the NFL's Coach of the Year, 412-928-9370? I'm excited to watch these two coaches match wits on Sunday. Like, I can't remember the last time I was this excited for a Steelers game either, Doran, because I think it's a team you don't see a lot. It's a quarterback that now we get to keep our eyes on in Jaden Daniels for a full three and a half, 4 hours on Sunday. But I think it's a massive measuring stick game. I'm super jacked about it.
There's no doubt. And as the week does go on, or as the days do go on, I get more excited because you got a little taste, and then the taste got taken away because of the bye week. It's like, oh, man, we want to see more. We want to see more of Russ. We want to see what he can be like in another game and another week of practice and, you know, what this team's going to be like whenever they do have healthy players. So we haven't really gotten that fix for Steelers football. in a little while now because of the bye week. So, like, it makes you more anxious to know that coming out of the bye week and this Sunday, it's going to be against a team that is legit, too. Mm-hmm. So, it's a huge test. It's a huge test. And then here on out, really, I think we should all be excited for Steelers football and what this fate could be for them this year.
As, frankly, unfair and bizarre as the second half of the season schedule is, you do have a marquee matchup every week.
Every week.
Like, it's easy to get geeked up for that.
Yep.
If the Steelers lose, I wonder how much of all the feel-good that we've had now through 9 weeks, including the bye, I wonder if that goes away if you lose. I think we should spend a lot of time on that tomorrow. But that kind of just hit me. If you lose, like, oh, man, the Steelers are good. ESPN's talking about them being Super Bowl contenders. Florio said it yesterday. Lock and Ford is taking the Steelers seriously when we talked to him on Tuesday. You lose to the Commanders. Does it just all go splat? I don't know. We'll talk about it more tomorrow. But coming up next, your thoughts on whether you agree or disagree with ESPN saying Mike Tomlin is the NFL's coach of the year. 412-928-9370. Jeff Hathorn, he's going to be joining us at 9:35 on Thursdays moving forward. Now, I wanted to space him out a little bit. We had Bostic, we have Hillgrove, so he'll join us at 9:35. Right now, though, it is a Charlie Borges headline.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bill Barnwell of ESPN has Mike Tomlin as the NFL's coach of the year at the, you know, quote-unquote midway point. CBS has Tomlin among the top three. I think the top three's pretty universal, no? Dan Quinn, the guy out in Minnesota, O'Connell, and then Mike Tomlin.
Yeah.
I think any one of those could be the right call. What I don't think is debatable is that Tomlin's done a great job this year. Like, the slow start slow starts at times, they drive me nuts because I think that has to fall on the head coach. Anything good or anything bad, you gotta talk about the head coach's role in all of that. The Indianapolis game is the one fly in the ointment where you're down 17-0 to a below 500 team and you have no answers for Joe Flacco. And he dices you up like he's Joe friggin' Montana. Your highly paid defense that Mike Tomlin's got his fingerprints all over. That, to me, shouldn't happen. You can lose. Every team loses games they're not supposed to in the NFL, save for like the Chiefs. It does. It happens. And I can excuse that to a certain extent, but not with the circumstances of that game.
Mm-hmm.
Apart from that, okay, Dallas lost, not great. Both of those games also happened with your backup quarterback.
Right.
And you won 4 games with your backup quarterback. One of them against a 6-3 team in Atlanta. The other against a Denver team that is in a playoff position, I believe, right now. At least they're 5-4. And I think those are good wins. The Chargers. The Chargers are a good football team. They're not a great football team. They're a good football team, albeit with their backup quarterback. So you can say Dan Quinn, like I have, is the coach of the year. Or you can argue Kevin O'Connell, coach of the year. What you can argue for the first time in a long time is that Mike Tomlin is doing an excellent job as the head coach of this football team.
He absolutely has. Absolutely.
I don't know that you can parse things as I just did with the Indianapolis game, but it's also about where you are relative to your peers.
Right.
They're in first place. And they're better now. And they're good offensively.
Because of him, they're better now.
A lot of coaches I don't know make the switch.
Right.
Like, he deserves a ton of points for that. A ton of points. I mean, all of us on the station, we spent a lot of time that week. We both disagreed initially. And then we spent a lot of time that week trying to boil it down and understand the why. But we still disagreed. And everyone on the station disagreed. And every talking head nationally disagreed. And then there are reports that people in the building disagreed. And Tomlin made the decision. I don't know how many coaches in the NFL have the stones to do that, honestly. To go away from a 4-2 quarterback? Like, that's a hell of a move.
Well, they did it in with Cooper Rush, but that's, I think that's a different situation.
Sure.
Because you knew, remember a couple years ago?
Yes.
He was, what, 4-0? I think he was 4-0. But Dak Prescott, you knew he already had played, and he was already there in your system.
Right.
So that's a little bit different. He's
franchise guy.
Right.
Yeah.
So this is also new. Like, you just got both of these guys in the offseason, and you know about them, but you haven't really seen them, especially Russ, in like a live game setting to know if he should be the guy. So you're really just hoping.
Yeah, you're taking a massive risk, because even if Russ is equal or a slightly better player, you're anticipating some level of rust against a team with a ton of talent in the New York Jets, that if you're rusty for a first half, first quarter, you could wind up out now losing that game. And he was, and they didn't, because they were so good in the second half. But you're kind of taking a big swing there that it's going to work off from the jump.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked about the national media and those of us on the station who opined on it. I think the majority of fans said, no, let Justin Fields keep playing. And we heard it at Acrisure Stadium. The boos that were let out whenever Russell Wilson wasn't playing well early. So that might be, as I comb my brain, the biggest swing, the biggest decision a coach has had to make this year. And he's passing so far with flying colors, is Mike Tomlin.
The biggest decision.
I mean, I do. Well, okay, here's one more. Getting away from Richardson and going with Flacco.
That, Bryce Young maybe too, but that's a lower level. Like, they weren't in it, but that's still your number one pick. Those two right there being your top, what, five or number one picks.
Yeah.
Being in their second year.
Yeah.
And benching them.
The Bryce Young one, like, you're going to suck either way. I don't know why you're going with Darnold. Like, that didn't, now he's going to, what, start his third consecutive game. Young is, he's back. But the Richardson one.
But none of those decisions have panned out like it has with Russ, though. Because Flacco just lost.
Right.
So this is actually panning out where you have two wins and you made this decision compared to those two. And those are the only two I can really think of right
now,
right?
Yeah, not only do you make the decision, but it's paying off.
It's paying off. That's what it's about. It's about not just about making the decision of going away from something that has not just been working, but is going to be your future possibly, to something that is going to be successful. So
I mean, that's why it's nuts to think about. I mean, 10 years younger, 4-2, actually threw the ball well in a couple of games. I don't know that he had a quarterback rating lower than 90 in any of the games. And you sit him down for a guy who was getting paid to not play in Denver. It's a hell of a move. Texter, Crowley or Dickerson, if you don't answer this, the Steelers will lose. He's preying on my superstitions here. How many catches do you think Mike Williams will have, and how effective do you think Preston Smith will be this weekend? Stairway to seven, they put.
Two catches.
That's what I was going to say.
One sack.
A sack?
Uh-huh. Yep.
Boy, I don't think they want Preston Smith landing on Jaden Daniels.
Mm-mm. He's going to have a sack. He has that chip on his shoulder. Like, I've wanted out of Green Bay. You guys bring in this system. I've had 68 sacks, 68 and a half sacks in my career. I'm a fantastic football player, and you didn't use me right. You chose to just put in a different defense than use me the right way. I'm one of the best players on defense, so I want out. I'm going to show you. No, I'm feeling it. I'm frothing at the mouth. He's going to get a sack. Want to have a little friendly wager on that?
No, because generally you wind up being right about football things, and I wind up being very, very wrong.
Hmm.
We'll get Jeff Hathorn's opinion on how much these guys are going to play this weekend. He's going to join us next. And does he think Mike Tomlin should be the NFL's coach of the year, or at least has been through 8 games? Jeff's next, our sports director. But first, it's a Charlie headline. Texter, So Tomlin wins the games he's supposed to win and still lays an egg during that time, and that makes him coach of the year? Every human who understands the game of football at all knew Russ was the only choice. Okay, I guess Belichick doesn't know ball? I mean, come on. Also, the Steelers were underdogs against the Jets and Chargers and Falcons. So, at least according to Vegas, those were games they weren't supposed to win. And they did anyhow.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll be an underdog on the road against Washington coming up on Sunday. That line has moved from 2.5 to 3, by the way.
And probably next weekend, right? Will they?
Oh, man. If the Ravens win tonight, I think the Steelers will be a slight home underdog. Yeah, I think you're probably right about that. 1.5, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Our sports director, Jeff Hathorn, joins us now. And we want some deets on Preston Smith and Mike Williams, and we will get them out of Jeff, I promise you. But first, Jeff, Mike Tomlin, coach of the year. It's not crazy, huh?
It's not crazy. I mean, listen, there are times to criticize Tomlin, but how do you not give him his flowers right now?
Right.
Steelers are 6-2, and he made maybe one of the top five coaching decisions of the season in going to Russell Wilson. And you're 4-2. You've got some momentum building with the quarterback, yet he decided they could be better. And he made a tough decision, and it's so far it's paid off. And I think if not for that alone, he should be in that conversation. Obviously, Andy Reid, you know, look at what Buffalo's doing. Washington is having a great year, but yeah, Tomlin's in that mix.
All right, Jeff, Mike Williams, newly acquired wide receiver. How much do you anticipate him playing on Sunday, and what type of role do you think he'll have, and how productive will he be for the Steelers from Sunday moving forward?
You know, he went in, got some first-team reps yesterday, so it's not like he just sat and watched. I mean, he went in there, got some work right away with Russell Wilson, but I do think they're going to work him into the offense. As Tomlin said, you know, judge this more about the length of the season, not as much about Sunday. The good thing here is Zach Azani is a wide receivers coach. He came from New York last year. So they have similar concepts, similar formations. So he feels like that could help him be a really quick study. Plus, he's been around the league. You see offenses. You kind of know what it is. It's picking up little terminology here and there. And, you know, Russ is good with working with guys on the side. I mean, he really is. You could see it in practice. He pulls guys over during a special teams period. He goes over, he'll run routes with guys. So I don't expect him a ton in this first game, but I think he'll be up to speed pretty quickly. And then it'll depend on how he performs.
This is wild. So you just talked about Azani coming over from the Jets. He got replaced by Van Jefferson's dad, did he not?
Yeah.
So Van Jefferson's dad is Mike Williams' wide receiver coach over there, and now he comes to his... That's wild stuff. It's just... Mm-hmm. It's goofy.
And guys, I realize we're in an era with free agency where you're almost rooting more for the jersey than the guy in it, but I think it's worth noting that yesterday at practice, the first guy to go over to Mike Williams is the guy whose snaps he's going to take, was Van Jefferson. He was working with him, showing him things, telling him what was going on. Jefferson knows the deal. He's been around the league, but Jefferson knew through his dad a little bit about Mike, and they went over, struck up a conversation, excuse me, but I think it's worth pointing out a guy that's going to potentially lose snaps was the first one to go over and say, hey, here are some of the things you need to know.
Well, with that being said, I'd like to say this. Sean Jefferson, Van Jefferson's dad, one of my favorite coaches of all time that I've ever had.
See, I never put that together either.
Yeah. One of my favorite ever.
What a small world.
Mm-hmm.
And Arthur Smith, you like him.
Yes.
And I like him because he's always putting zins in.
Yes.
So, I mean, we just
Arthur
all
Smith,
peas, pod.
Arthur Smith was the tight ends coach, and Sean Jefferson was the receivers coach in Tennessee, Mouser.
Wow.
The things you learn.
Yes.
Well, and what do you say? You can judge a man by his son? Well, it seems like those two are pretty good people.
Yes.
My poor dad. Jeff Hathorn joining us here on the Fan Morning Show. All right, how about Preston Smith here, Jeff? I mean, it should be easier for him, I would think. And what about the status of Nick Herbig and how that might figure into this whole deal?
Yeah, Herbig's still limited, so let's see him out. If today he's out in full practice, then you feel better about him potentially getting out there. But, you know, a couple of weeks ago, they're grabbing guys from their practice squad just to play alongside T.J. Watt. And remember, they brought in Golden in the offseason, and that lasted like a few days before he decided to go back and play with his kids instead. They've been looking for somebody like this. And to get someone like that, who for a seventh-round pick, who's familiar with the 3-4, who seems hungry, he requested a trade, he wants it. the thing I worry about in the back of my mind is, and I asked him this directly, is he going to be cool with just a few snaps a game if that's the way it plays out? We'll see. He says he's going to do whatever. He loves, you know, already loves it here. But I love that ad for depth. I mean, instead, and you know, Ade and Eku and those guys, they played hard, but they don't have the experience of a Preston Smith.
Jeff, who should Steelers fans root for tonight? This has been a pretty big topic in the last couple of days for us. Cincinnati and in Baltimore, it's going to be a good matchup. The over-under is like, what, 52.5? So Crowley thinks there's going to be a lot of points to be scored. But who should Steelers fans root for in favor of the Steelers?
I want to bury Burrow.
Yeah, me too.
Bury Burrow. I don't want to – if I'm a team, I don't want to see him in the postseason. Like, just – get him out of that mix. I'd rather see some other team with a lesser quarterback. So as crazy as it is because of the battle that you have right now for first place with Baltimore, Barry Burrow. Now, that being said, Cincinnati wins, you still feel good about it, but that's kind of my mindset going into it.
I like that. Mm-hmm. Jeff, appreciate the time. Thank you for moving times. We wanted to spend more time with you. We wanted to spend more time with Bill Hillgrove. So thank you for obliging, and we will talk to you on Tuesday.
I'll see you both on Saturday.
Yes, sir.
That's right. We are
Pitt fan over here, Crowley.
Well, I am a fan of Pitt fans, and for those who don't know, a nice woman who made a big-time donation to Feed the Need. One of the incentives was, hey, you get to come to a Pitt game, hang out with us, special experience, and a special experience we shall give her. And I'm excited about it.
Awesome.
Thank you, Jeff.
Awesome.
Thanks, Jeff.
See you guys.
Jeff Hathorn, the man.
Yes.
Yeah, we've seen the Preston Smith deal played out before with Melvin Ingram. We saw it played out with a couple of guys who feel like they're going to be utilized one way and then aren't. But you have to figure coming in here when he's come in here. Just play in a system you're comfortable with and make hay when you can.
Yeah.
Like, you can't, you have to be realistic. Like, I'm sure Ingram, I guess the argument would be that Ingram was promised more playing time. I mean, come on. You got to figure Watt, Highsmith, Herbig. You're not going to be the starter.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're not. And I think he's a smart enough guy to get that.
But you also have to know that TJ Watt and Alex Highsmith, they take breaks, much needed breaks
sure.
at times. So it's not like that they're on the field every single snap on defense. So you make hay of the reps that you get. And if I'm a player and I'm, you know, I'm what is he in 10 year? I mean, he may be older than that. If I'm getting older and you know, I've been playing a long time, I only want so many snaps. Like, give me efficiency, you know, quality over quantity. Like, I got to rush the passer a couple times a game, and I can get after and get a couple sacks here and there and just be a component to the defense and not have to be out there and running plays and, you know, certain downs and distances of having in long series. Man, I'm fine with that and try to win a championship.
Yeah. Try to win.
Yeah. I'm all right with that.
Play your best ball 110% for 15 plays or play 30 plays and not 110%.
And also, in the probably the biggest thing is, hey, at least I am a part of the team and could be a factor. And I think that that's probably what bothered him the most in Green Bay. Like, he was on the team, but he wasn't a factor in the defense. He wasn't contributing to the team. And, it, you know, he's like, I'm a great player. Like, you know, I've been doing this a long time, and now we have a different defense, and I'm not even, like, a part of it because of the scheme. Now he'll feel like, okay, even if he gets two reps, he'll feel like he's contributing,
yeah,
which makes probably him even happier.
He had 8 sacks last year.
Right.
He wants to be a part of it. You're right about that. And to be wanted matters.
Yep.
It does. I mean, oh, you traded for me. You want me. You think I make a difference. You feel nice and warm and fuzzy about it. It wasn't that long ago, although it does feel like that long ago. Jason Worlds, when he'd get 8 sacks for the Steelers, oh my gosh, they finally have a pass rush. That's what this guy did last year. Good player. Social Media's Biggest Loser coming up next. That is brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Reserve your consultation today at awaken180weightloss.com. Charlie Borges wanted it to be the Pope. So we're not going to do that. NFL.com has their predictions for the second half of this season. I want to call them out as losers, and we'll do just that when we return. And maybe we'll tell you about the Pope thing, too. But first, it is a Borges fan headline. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. We move right past it, Doran. No need to point out my flaws.
I didn't say anything.
So Social Media's Biggest Loser is not a loser, would never say that. I'm a, well, I went to Catholic school growing up. But the Pope tweeted out 2 hours ago, which is a hilarious sentence, I think, We cannot become saints with a frown. We must have joyful hearts that remain open to hope. And he put hashtag saints, and it came up with the Saints football logo. A lot of times I'm trying to check in on Pony, you know, just keep him in line, see what he's got going on Twitter. I'll start typing P-O-N, and it comes up with Pontifex, which is the Pope.
Oh.
So a lot of times I'll be searching for Pony, and the Pope pops up.
The Pope pops up. Mm-hmm. It's funny that the Pope tweets.
Pope tweets a lot. I don't know if he poops in the woods, but he tweets. It's a joke. 18.4 million followers the Pope has. And then the Saints quote tweeted it and said, yes.
Yes.
Which I love. By the way, we're going to have to talk about this tomorrow. They were just talking about it on ESPN, the Commanders running game. We spent a lot of time talking about Jaden Daniels. They've rushed for 1,400 yards this year. Now, Daniels has a ton of that, 459 yards. Austin Eckler averaging 5.6 a carry. All their running backs averaging, who have touched the ball more than 34 times, are averaging more than 4.6 yards per carry. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
As for other biggest losers, NFL.com pulled 25 of their experts, right? And asked who's going to win the divisions. 23 out of the 25 voters said the Ravens are going to win the AFC North. The Steelers only got 2 votes.
Wow.
Maurice Jones-Drew and then some guy whose name I can't pronounce. The only 2. And I think that's insanity. I don't know that the Steelers are going to win the AFC North. I think they got a much better shot than NFL.com's giving them.
There's no doubt. At least it should be 50-50.
Oh, my God. Now, the Ravens' schedule's easier because whose isn't? Cincinnati tonight, at Steelers, at Los Angeles, Philadelphia. Okay, that's not easy. Then you got Houston.
They just look at Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson. Yeah. They don't really look into the details. Like, they don't look into, the, like, their defense. Like,
right.
You know, they just see, like, oh, you got Derrick. How are you going to stop Derrick Henry? How are you going to stop Lamar Jackson? How are you going to stop Zay Jones? And then that's like, oh, yeah, they're going to win.
Yeah, you don't have to because you just score 40.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Cincinnati, I think, has put up 35 tonight. I think Cincinnati's going to put it all over them. Then it's Pittsburgh. Then it's Los Angeles, Philadelphia. Their schedule's tough, too. Houston. Steelers again? Yeah. 23-2? That doesn't make much sense to me. Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. That's going to do it for us today. Really fun show. It always is with Pat Bostick. And then tomorrow's Friday, and we're breaking down Pitt. We're breaking down the Steelers, a football Friday. Excited for it. And the return of Austin Bechtold.
Yes.
He's switching off Starkey, filling in for Callis, and he used to be our guy, Bechtold. So excited about that. And Charles Borges, just a round of applause.
Good job, Charles.
He's been killing us during the breaks. We've been laughing. We've been having a good time. What'd you do for him last
second? I've been making fun of me.
I did look it.
That's all, folks. Starkey up next. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 5:40. Fam weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. It's here, the Chevy Red Tag event, now through December 2nd, 0% APR for well-qualified buyers, full terms at sunchevy.com, partly cloudy, high 64.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.